14.
Nice rate, but.
Yeah, it beats 13, doesn't it?
We're going to read 1 through 6, but it's just a repeat of. Well, it's not really a repeat. I mean, let's just read it and I'll talk about it. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out of this on the Sabbath? And they could not answer him again to these things. And the difference here between what we just read in Luke 13 is there it was that they took the sheep, I mean the ox, or the to water, and here they're, it's the same. It's not the same, but it's a similar thing, that here he's fallen into a pit, but on the Sabbath day they're allowed to pull him out. So we've just looked at that, so we don't need to look at that again unless somebody wants to. So
it's just a matter of the need. I mean, it's a great need for animals falling into a pit.
Well, that's illegal on the Sabbath to do that.
Yeah.
And so he's repeating something, because I think he wanted to find out. Remember, Luke's purpose is to set in order. And that means he's trying to put everything in a chronological order from everything all the way through the book of Acts, because that's what he did. And so here we had the healing on the Sabbath in verse 11 of chapter 13, 11 through 17. And now we have him again. He's asking, he's challenging them to see if they're going to respond the same way the righteous indignation of the previous Pharisees did. So, unless you want to, we're not going to repeat all that. So, anyway, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and to say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go sit down at the lowest room, that when he had bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now the word for room, and the reason they called it a room here is because it's protoklesia, which means a place of reclining. And so the King James translator thought that the place of reclining was a separate room instead, so that's why they used it. But here it's just the place of reclining. And there's a, as you know, they reclined the Passover around the Seder table, and they also reclined during the Sabbath meal around the Seder table. So, anyway, So it's not a chief room, it's a... the one nearest the host was the one that was the most... They don't... On Sabbath, they didn't sit by age. They sat by whoever was the host. Then the chief, or the best seats, were nearest the host in that context. All right? I'm not doing well here. Excuse me. The more honorable man in verse 8 is the word entimos. Remember, time, or time, is what it looks like, is the word for honor. And so the entimos, more honorable man, let's look a couple places and see how that's used. Go to, we just, not too long ago, Luke 7. This is, you don't have to go there.
It was only a couple of years ago. Yeah. It was like yesterday. Yeah.
Here, this is a centurion. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Dear unto him is this word entimos, which means honorable. And then Philippians 2:29. Well, let's read it. Let's start in verse 19. This is where Paul is going to send Timothy to the Ephesians, or to the Philippians, I mean. In verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how long it will go with me. So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward him. Now, to hold in reputation is this word, temi. And he wasn't held in reputation because any of his any status, but because of his servanthood, that he was held in reputation. So we hold, believers hold the opposite of what the world holds in reputation, or in honor. One more, 1 Peter. chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, the word precious there is this word that's entimos. But I want to finish that section because it's really important. You also, as lively stones, have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The thing that blew me away as a new believer, when I studied what peculiar people meant, and it was so incredibly important in terms of my own understanding, and I hope it is with yours. And it's the feminine of the verb form I am. And I am can have no modifiers. So you're neither male nor female, you're not American, you're not Russian, you're not old or young. You have no modifier. Is that, do you understand what that means? Now, to know that you have no modifiers is the highest that you can be. I mean, it's the reason time and space exists, for you to know that there are no modifiers to your name, to who you are. And in fact, any time you place a modifier on your name, on your status or your being, instead of just I am, then what you are doing is you're lessening the mystery of God. And this is why it's so critical that whatever you give importance to, that it stands the test of truth. It can't change with time, place, or circumstance. If it does, then you're lessening who he is in you by your stand, your need to be right. You knew that was coming. Huh?
Gee, look. How could I miss it?
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah, but more importantly, I just realized why one of the things, well, not the only thing, but one of the things that makes it difficult is that we talk about, you know, being in the now, and yet when it comes down to things that are not of God, we talk to
you're in the now, then you don't have to do that. But it's right. only when you take a stand, it takes you out of the now that you have to do that.
Well, still
what?
Still a paradox, a difference, you know.
Well, the paradox is that you're already out.
Okay, well, I had fun saying it. Enjoy yourself.
You've already fallen from the strong city. Your desire is to get back. Amen? Or is it, no, is it you, is that you don't know, or is that an amen?
I have to think about it.
Think about what?
What you said.
That you that you've fallen from a strong city by taking a stand?
Well, I still have to think about it. I mean, it's true, but I can't decide at what point, you know, I'm supposed to pay attention to things and what point I'm not, you know. What point do I use my mind to say, you know, this thing is you know, going
to
change?
You've used your mind to take a stand.
I understand that, but I mean, how else do you repent until you know that?
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word love there is the verb, agapeo. It means give importance to. If there's something in time and space that you're giving importance to, then you're loving the world. And that's what a stand is. You're taking a political position or any kind of position. Does that not communicate?
Only it all communicates. That doesn't make it see, you know, when time is that I need to see.
Well, if you buy nature, by habit, by whatever you want to call it, you've heard me talk many times, Abraham is the first one to define truth. That's why he's the father of three monotheistic religions, allegedly. It took him 100 years to come to the end of all of that. Now, I pray it doesn't take you 100 years because you don't have that long.
Probably not.
And so my prayer for you is that he would make you of quick understanding in the fear of God so you can stop this childish crap. Just on a natural basis, how many times have you been fired because of that?
Not that many.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right.
Okay.
Let's go back to Luke 14. Verse 9. No, let's just read that again. For my benefit, because I got off on a tangent. In verse 7, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms or chief seats, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest place, and a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with him. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, Uh, I'm not doing well. I'm gonna have to. Let's. I can't complete words in my mind. So let's hopefully pray for a better day tomorrow. Take it big time.